We so appreciate the great work of the Cardinal Newman Society, which is why we have them on every week with Newman Guide News and our friend Kelly Solomon. So, Kelly, this one is hitting pretty close to home for me, the first story we're going to discuss. And this has to do with my husband's hometown, Scranton, Pennsylvania, and actually his high school, Scranton Prep, where Casey, the person that we're going to discuss, also graduated from. And unfortunately, Bob Casey Jr. does not have the same pro-life zeal that his father did, or made a big turn on that, unfortunately, and not in the right direction. So tell us what you're covering in relationship to Scranton, or the University of Scranton in northeastern Pennsylvania.
Yes, you know, this is an unfortunate story. You know, we're just kicking off the school year, and, you know, already we're hearing news about what decisions schools and colleges have made over the summertime. And the University of Scranton is a Jesuit-run university in Pennsylvania that unfortunately has hired former Senator Bob Casey Jr. as its Distinguished Fellow in Public Service. Part of his role will include mentoring students. And as you mentioned, Teresa, unfortunately, he's had this evolution on the abortion issue over the years, and like you said, not in a positive direction.
Mm-hmm. It's such a shame because his father was such a strong pro-lifer, correct?
That's correct. You know, I've done some research on Bob Casey and his father this week as this came to light, of wondering why a Catholic university would be hiring someone who ran his last campaign on a pro-abortion platform. His father was a pro-life Democrat in the 1980s and 90s. An alum of the University of Scranton actually took to another publication to write an article about why he was so sad that his alma mater was hiring someone to mentor students who ran on a pro-abortion platform. And he brought up his father, and he said that Bob Casey's father wrote a book entitled Fighting for Life, in which he championed the life of unborn children.
I mean, this is really, I think, setting an example, and not a good one. What is this going to do in terms of influencing students at that college? Because he might not be representing this various issue, but it makes a statement that it doesn't matter. You can be Catholic and you could vote against church teaching very publicly and work very publicly against it.
Exactly. That we know that someone's witness is so important in the lives of students. And, you know, this decision was really championed by the university. The university president in the press release said, Father Joseph Marina, the university president, said, "I'm truly delighted to welcome Senator Casey to our university. His Jesuit education has served him well for decades, and I have no doubt he will continue to bring his Jesuit values to bear in this exciting new role. I'm very grateful to the senator and the Leahys for making this initiative possible," right? And so what message is that sending, that a Jesuit education is compatible with a pro-abortion platform, also a platform that included pushing for IVF and contraception? I went to Senator Casey's website for his campaign in 2024, and there's a whole press release announcing Reproductive Freedom for All, the pro-abortion organization, endorsing Bob Casey for his reelection. And the Reproductive Freedom for All president praises Senator Casey in meeting the moment and recognizing that action is needed to protect abortion rights and access nationwide. So sad. And there's a quote from Senator Casey himself saying, "Women's rights are at stake in this election, including access to reproductive health care, IVF, and contraception." He even went on to say, "The difference between me and my opponent is clear. When Roe v. Wade was overturned, my opponent said it made him very, very happy. I voted for a Women's Health Protection Act to restore the protections of Roe. I'm grateful for the support of Reproductive Freedom for All in this critical election. Together, we'll keep fighting to protect these critical rights for people across Pennsylvania and across the country."
With all of this so public, right, so very public on his website,
right,
and statements he's made in the past, debates he's done, you still have the president of the University of Scranton saying these things. In addition, the article that you sent me from The Spectator, which I read, which was very, very well written, the president also said that Casey is perfect, perfect for the role of forming men and women to be, here's the clincher, though, read between the lines with this one, Kelly, agents of social change. So the priest is obviously in agreement with Casey. Obviously, he put them in this position, thinking that the social change has to come about. So we have to, you know, get rid of some of these tried and true teachings, or the preeminent issue that the bishops call, which is life. So this is extremely troubling. I'm so glad you brought this to our attention. Do you know if they've gotten any other feedback at the University of Scranton about this appointment?
You know, I was so grateful to see several publications posting articles about this and featuring other alum of the university who are upset about this decision. I hope that more alumni and Catholic parents generally will let the university know that they're happy with this, that our Catholic institutions should be holding up as role models those who do not publicly defy Catholic moral teaching, right? As you said, Teresa, these are very public statements going against Catholic moral teaching. It's the same thing we talk about when Catholic colleges bring in commencement speakers who publicly oppose the faith, right? Why choose these as the witnesses and the role models for your students? You know, Senator Casey said, you know, that he wants... He said in his quote that I believe it's critically important that young people are inspired and even taught that if you serve in public office, you have to do it ethically, right? And how does this square with the campaign that he's platformed on? And what message does this send to students? Again, I think the alum in that article that you mentioned, Teresa, at The Spectator, raises some great questions about why does a Catholic university hire him to mentor students? What message does this sound? This is an expensive Catholic education. What are students receiving from their investment in this kind of education?
What can we do? Obviously, some of the Catholic media have picked this up, and conservative media. What can people, especially in the Diocese of Scranton, or people who are in that area in Northeastern Pennsylvania, or maybe they have gone to the University of Scranton, which does have a good reputation in terms of being a solid educational place, I mean, outside of you know, the whole Catholic problem. But what can we do to speak up about this, do you think, Kelly?
Yes, I think, you know, send the University of Scranton your information, send your local bishop and your priest, you know, make them aware of this and let them know. And then also let Catholic families aware of that this type of thing is happening, unfortunately, at Catholic colleges all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's why you and I, Teresa, have this Newman Guide News segment.
Exactly.
Because there
right.
is an option that you don't have to choose any institution to attend, that you can invest in a faithful Catholic education where these colleges go out of their way to bring in role models and witnesses of the faith who are very public about their pro-life stance. Right. Mm-hmm. And show students how they can strive to live in line with church teaching throughout their lives.
Yeah, I think it's important to note, too, that I remember the controversy with Notre Dame many years ago when Obama came to speak, if you remember that, the commencement address, which was a huge story. And we took two buses from the Archdiocese of Detroit down there to just stand peacefully in peaceful protest and pray. But we have to remember that a lot of these schools are run by orders, as is the University of Scranton. It's a Jesuit school. And the Archdiocese or the diocese may not be able to remove a particular person, but certainly we can speak out to the school and let people know that this is just unacceptable. Speaking of college, happy and successful students, we have a checklist for growing your faith. We're going to talk about that back to school topic next. Stay tuned. That time of year, many students going off to college right now, as we speak, as a matter of fact. Some students start in August. My college, Central Michigan University, used to always start the third weekend of August. So it would be the weekend this weekend that I would be going up there. But that was a long time ago. However, appreciate this beautiful article that was done by a guest contributor, and it is the happy and successful students. A few years old, but it's evergreen. The happy and successful students, sober and chaste. And there's a wonderful checklist in terms of what you can do to help your kids and fellow students, if you're a student going, really have a successful start of your college career. And really good stuff, I think, Kelly, to keep with you, right, for your entire career in college.
Absolutely. You know, all of us can think of a student or a family who might have a student going off to college. These are some great articles on the Cardinal Newman Society website to share with those families and help those students start off on a strong foot especially their freshman year, to get involved with the right crowds and with other friends who are going to lift them up and help them become the best version of themselves. And, you know, some things to think about right off the bat of making a plan for making it to weekly Mass, and how often are you going to go to confession, and what service opportunities can you sign up for, right, so that you can get started on a good path in college and create those lifelong friends who can really help you with your future and becoming the kind of person God wants you to be.
Yeah, so let's go through the article. There's some three pretty big things here which really have an impact, and you hear it and you're thinking, wow, if you think about the connection and connect the dots between this, it's the big three. It's these are not the only things that the article says that for being a good Christian, obviously, but also being, it's very helpful in college. But these are really, really important. And unfortunately, how many horror stories do we hear that just the opposite is taking place on college campuses and elsewhere? So chastity is first up. Let's talk about that.
Yes, exactly. We know that this is a challenge for all of us our whole lives, but especially as students are going off to college for the first time, are living in student residences, hopefully are attending a good Catholic college where you have single-sex residences and reasonable dorm policies that promote chastity. You know, we see at many secular institutions where dorms are not single-sex and students of the opposite sex can be in each other's dorm rooms at any time of the day or night at many places. So this is something to look into as well before you even choose a college. But this article, we had a guest contributor of Focus, which does great work on many college campuses, and they wrote this article for us on how to build up chastity, sobriety, and excellence as you go off to college. And so, you know, there's great tips they give in here. Make boundaries for yourself. Commit to being faithful to these boundaries, right? Go out of your way to make good friends. Mm-hmm. I can't emphasize that enough, that I receive so many calls from parents who call me up after the first couple weeks of their students' college year, and they say they just fell in with the wrong crowd. They mm-hmm. fell in with the group that's always drinking. They fell in with the group that's obsessed with video games, right? Look for friends who are not obsessed with activities that are just a waste of time or, at worst, derail your well-being, right? Mm-hmm. Concentrate on your studies. Make sure you actually go to class and get sleep at night so that you can make it to your classes. You know, you're preparing for your profession, so it's important to make the most of those classes, taking care of your physical well-being, and seek out the wisdom and the great value that you could be receiving through your education.
Well, this whole idea of chastity, I think it's important. And I think one book I would recommend, I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Miriam Grossman, but she was a doctor on a college campus. And she would see all these different, she's a psychiatrist and an MD, obviously, but she would see all these young women coming to her, and she would do counseling. And she said the one thing they had in common, she found out after she started asking them questions, that they were very promiscuous. She said they were very good about taking care of their health. They were very good about studying, but they were miserable, and they had all these emotional problems. And then she started asking questions, and they started talking about their sex life, and that they were basically thinking that this is what they had to do. This is what was required of them. And she could not believe how much it impacted them. So she did so much research, Kelly. And this, again, proves the beauty of the Catholic Church and what the Church teaches about sexuality. And in her research, she found that every time, and I think theology of the body teaches this as well, every time a woman has relations with a man, she's attached to that person. And so you're walking around with all this baggage in terms of emotions and the psychological aspect. So her book, You're Teaching My Children What, is a really, really good book, I think, to grab. It's from Simon & Schuster. It came out several years ago. It's one of her first books. But she talks about this, and she's not even Catholic. She's not even Christian. And she's talking about how important it is for these kids not to jump around. It's not good for us.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds like a great resource, Teresa. I think sometimes those resources make such a difference, even from, you know, a secular perspective. Like, I remember reading an article about cohabitation before marriage and how it affects the divorce rate, right? And so sometimes these studies that just show the statistics can be eye-opening for young people. And And hopefully they also can get involved in whatever theology of the body programming is available on campus and making use of their theology classes, of seeking out campus ministry and a good spiritual advisor, of remaining close to the sacraments, because, you know, God is love. We're made in God's image and likeness, and we're created to love in a really authentic way. And that's what's going to bring us happiness, right? And these passing desires will not bring us that deep happiness that young women and young men are longing for on these campuses.
Amen. Having our weekly conversation with Kelly Solomon, VP of Newman Guide Programs from the Cardinal Newman Society. It's Newman Guide News on a Tuesday. The next topic is really huge as well, the issue of sobriety, because the issue of binge drinking is such a problem on campus, and we're seeing more and more articles, including a study that came out just this week, actually just yesterday, about alcohol and how bad it is health-wise for you. I mean, once in a while, if you're of legal age and you have a glass of wine with friends or something, or a cocktail, but to the extent that some of these young people are engaging in very unhealthy activity that could lead to other things, this is a real issue people have to be aware.
It is. And it's a big topic on college campuses. As you mentioned, the binge drinking rate is very significant on most college campuses today. And so it's important to remember that drunkenness is a sin. It's using our bodies, souls, and sobriety is enjoying the gift of alcohol in the way that God intended. The article goes on to share about temperance is the virtue that controls our appetite for things like food, drink, and sex. Another word for temperance is self-control. It's not about not doing things. It's about placing your desires in the right order. Again, college can be a great opportunity. It's a turning point. It's a time of decision. It can help propel you forward and help be a time that you grow in virtue, grow in wisdom. Or it can be a time that you develop habits that unfortunately can stay with you for many years and impact your profession, your vocation, your children. Right. So it's really a critical training ground for getting those habits and virtues that can be such a blessing to your family and your workplace and your community if you put in that effort during these college years.
Well, the statistics in this particular article, and by the way, I think you can still find it on the Cardinal Newman Society. We'll see if we can reference it for people, Kelly, before we wrap up. But this really struck me. Did you know that you could fill 3,500 Olympic-sized swimming pools with the amount of beer, wine, and liquor consumed by American college students each year? Did you also know that 80% to 90% of campus violence is linked to alcohol abuse? And 90% of all rapes on college campuses involve alcohol. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
If that doesn't raise your concern.
And, you know, that this is not all fun and games, that parents and students need to take seriously the formation of the young person and put themselves around good friends and in good environments and be ready to make good decisions when it comes to alcohol on campus.
And something you said earlier is super important. You mentioned it going to class, and that might strike people as odd. Well, wait a minute, why wouldn't they go to class? Well, first of all, if you're going away to school, I used to see this all the time. You're not under your parents' direction, and the college, you're paying for the courses, but the college is not going to be your babysitter and check up on you. They may tell you when you get to class you're basically going to flunk because you haven't, completed this course. But a lot of students, because they get so involved in these other things that we mentioned, they're, God forbid, sleeping around, having all these very promiscuous relationships, or they're over-drinking, they're involved in binge drinking, they're choosing not to go to class for whatever reason. Nobody's telling them to go to class. So this whole idea of structure, and this is where the prayer comes in, and you praying obviously for your children, but the prayer and engaging with your kids to say, make sure that they have these healthy environments as opposed to these other types of environments, right?
Amen. Yes. It does feel funny to say, don't forget you need to go to class.
But it happens all the time.
So many freshman students fall into for the first time. And, I slept through my alarm again. It'll be fine. I'll make up for it next time.
I had a roommate who said she didn't want to go outside because the wind was blowing and it was too cold, literally. Another roommate of mine skipped class so she could go be with her boyfriend, who was at a college about a half an hour away, and she would go there. And she would leave on like a Wednesday and wouldn't come back till like a Tuesday. And we're like, okay, well, you know, it's your decision. I don't even know if she ever got her degree. But and this was back, come on, I'm 66 years old. We'll be 66 in 2 weeks. I'm in my mid-60s and this was happening back then. You think it's not happening now?
Right. Exactly. Yes. It is happening. And you know, being a good student, making good friends, those are, and then of course, growing closer to God, right?
Yep.
And there's so many opportunities for that at a Newman Guy College, but setting up a little plan, talking through it with your friends, good, wholesome friends, or your parents, or a spiritual advisor, setting up a plan for even your prayer life and what spiritual opportunities and campus ministry opportunities you're going to be involved with can help with these other areas, right? Can help you to strive for excellence as a student, can help you strive for excellence in chastity and sobriety.
So this article, Kelly, could it be available? Where would people find it? Because I think it's very, very helpful. Where would they find it on your website?
If they go to the search bar at CardinalNewmanSociety.org, they can search for the Happy and Successful Student, Sober and Chaste. I also recommend Tips for Keeping Your Faith Alive in College by Christopher Kazor on our website. He goes into the topics of being a good student and making good friends and growing closer to God. Share some great experiences. He shares right at the beginning about one of his friends who was shocked that about his friend losing his faith during college right off the bat, right? Even for someone who spent 8 years in Catholic grade school, both of him and his friend attended Catholic high school for 4 years and then immediately went off to college and lost his faith. So this is the perspective we're coming from, knowing that so many students do lose their faith and lose their way in college. These articles provide some great tips in keeping on the straight and narrow path and hopefully having a really wonderful, happy, joyful, virtue-filled college experience.
Because it can be that. I mean, I really wish we had the Newman Society when I was back in school, back in the dark ages. I probably would have fared a lot better. I did okay, but, you know, a lot of us fall into that temptation thing, and I did. I fell away from my faith in college, but thanks be to God. God found me again. Kelly, always great to talk with you. Really appreciate the effort and how you bring so many important topics to us. Kelly Solomon, VP of Newman Guide Programs at the Cardinal Newman Society, NewmanSociety.org. She joins us every Tuesday for Newman Guide News here on Catholic Connection. We'll be right back on a Tuesday.
Thank you.